Welcome back to another Tuesday. A little hectic. Sorry about the technical issues, guys. If you're just now joining us, we have Jason on the line. We are talking about shadow people tonight. Jason, I'm just a little frazzled here. Let me find my notes. I have a bunch of questions for you. And Star should be calling in any second. Do I have you, Jason? Oh. Jason, are you there?
I am right here. How are my levels?
Thank you. Thank you for being so patient. I had not ever had any technical issues until tonight, and you should have seen me. I tried Skyping in and everything. That's how I ended up Skyping in tonight. It was just a nightmare. Star should be calling in here anytime. But again, people just joining us, we're speaking with author Jason Offit and about shadow people. Very hot topic, and to me, it seems very misunderstood or not really well known. So hopefully you can shed a lot of light on that. Star, welcome to the show. I see you've gotten to the show.
I finally made it in.
I know. Jason, thanks again for joining us.
No worries. And I understand technical difficulties all too well. Whenever I'm teaching, I usually have to call somebody in to bail me out because I can't get things working.
Yes. Well, and I was hoping Star could take over, but it just didn't work that way. And my husband, being a computer engineer, he's like, oh, it's this issue, you know, talking about Blog Talk. And I'm like, well, I don't know what the hell that means. All I know is I need to get in the system. But anyways, nonetheless, we're in. And hopefully we can get chat up and going, because I'm sure people have tons of questions regarding shadow people. Star, did you want to start out, or did you want me to hit them with some questions? Because I've got tons.
Well, I'll start out real quick. The biggest thing that I want to know is if you even know, Jason, what are shadow people? Where did they come from, and, you know, how long have they been here?
Well, as for how long, I as long as human civilization has been around, probably. When I was researching my book, Darkness Walks, I wanted to find out what these were. I had seen, as a kid, these entities in my room, but, you know, kids see lots of things, but it had fascinated me ever since I was about eight years old, and I wanted to find out what I'd seen. And, you know, when I started looking, I discovered that there's not just one answer. There can't be just one answer, because there are two. I mean, for my book, I interviewed over 250 people who've had experiences, and all the experiences were so, not all, but they were so wildly different, that I came to the determination that there are a number of different explanations for shadow people, and all of them are probably right. For example, the entities that I saw just walked from one corner of my room past my bed and into the hallway and disappeared. They didn't look at me. They just marched through my room. Some nights there was one, some nights there were, you know, half a dozen, and again, they didn't notice me. They were just like going from one place to the next. Fortunately, this only lasted for a couple of months, or I would be more scarred than I already am. But other people have seen shadows with blazing red eyes that glare at them over their bed when they're trying to sleep. Shadows that lurk in doorways in broad daylight and watch them. Shadow entities that wear a fedora, of all things, that they will see it at all times of the day. And there are a few other types, but their behaviors, not just their appearance, but their behaviors kind of set them apart. Some act as residual ghosts. People will see them fairly regularly doing exactly the same thing, walking down the steps, turning around the corner, walking into the kitchen. And that's it.
So do you feel that shadow people can be both residual and intelligent?
Yes. There are a number of shadow people reports that have them the ones especially who, you know, are lurking in a doorway. It's like they're peeking in on people, and when the person notices the shadow person's kind of surprised that, you know, they're seen, and they just take off. They take off. They zip behind the door or take off running, and you know, eventually disappear. I'm not sure what could those be. What are they? Some entity? Just, I mean, they don't cause harm. They're just spying on us. Is this some, you know, interdimensional thing? The ones I saw, was that some interdimensional thing? They were actually just going from point A to point B, and my room happened to be in the way. I think that could be a case for some. I think ghosts could be a case for other ones.
Yeah, and I've noticed in
reading
your book.
Sorry, I thought I interrupted somebody.
Oh, no. I was just typing in chat. No, but I've noticed that you do have a belief in many other things in reading your books, not just shadow people. Everything it looked like, from ufology to cryptozoology, you kind of cover it all, really.
Right, and I'm not going to call it belief. That's a tricky word, because belief, you know, belies that there's no proof to any of this, and a lot of it there is.
Yeah.
Some of it's just, you know, some person's experience, but I'm interested in all aspects of it, and I've researched all aspects of it. I'm not a paranormal investigator. I'm a journalist. I was a newspaper journalist for a long time, and that's how I handle my research and writing. I go to the places where, you know, things have occurred, and I interview people and do research like that.
Now, when did you first notice that shadow people became just so widely known and just such a hot topic?
Well, it's funny because I never talked to anybody about this. But when I was, like I said, I was around 8 or 9, and that's what in my head they were. That's what I called them. They were shadow people because that's what they looked like. They looked like somebody's shadow, except they moved independently. And it wasn't until the mid-1990s I was listening to Art Bell, and he was talking about shadow people, and I was like, whoa, wait a second. I've seen those things too. And, you know, it wasn't for, you know, 5 or 6 more years after that that I decided to actually, you know, dig into investigating them.
So I have some questions about how broad the term shadow people is, and you kind of touched on that, but how it varies from culture to culture. Have you studied it, like, within all these other cultures, and if so, how do they vary from culture to culture, like, you know, other countries versus the states? And then within the states alone, I'm sure there's many variants as to what people are experiencing or saying or seeing.
Well, as to what people are experiencing, they're all the variations are typical. The one I described that I saw, the ones who, you know, will peek around the corner, the ones with the red eyes, the one wearing the fedora, these are common literally across the world. I've interviewed people from across the U.S., from, you know, Canada, Brazil, South Africa, Europe, Australia, Saudi Arabia. I've talked with people from all these places.
Wow.
And the behavior of the shadow people and the appearance of the shadow people is all the same. You know, and I described a couple of them, but the characteristic that make them lump them all into the one shadow person umbrella is that they are dark. They're darker than night human shaped figures. All of them fit that category. But again, you know, they're different. And I did interview, you know, religious experts from Christianity. I spoke with a Catholic exorcist. I spoke with an expert in Hinduism and in Islam, and I spoke with a Cherokee shaman. And
oh wow!
And all of these different religions have, you know, this description of that entity in their belief system.
No. With the that you said they all had the same characteristic as far as being dark, were there any other similarities? Like, they all have certain, you know, patterns of the eyes, or like, and also I guess I have another kind of double question, because I've seen people post on different social media, oh, I've seen a shadow person, but I could see through them, or they had clothing on. And to me, that doesn't seem to be a shadow, your typical shadow person. So can you clarify if that would be a shadow person, not a shadow person, what, you know, and what other similarities they have besides just being dark, or characteristics,
well,
I guess you could say.
Well, with the clothing, mostly it's not, people can't tell clothing except for the hat man, which is a term for the one with the fedora. Some people will say that his outline, because you can't see detail, you can't see facial features. If you see eyes, it's because they're blazing red. Generally, if people see clothes, it'll be on the hat man, and it'll be described as an old fashioned, the outline of an old fashioned suit. Sometimes they've got a cape, like people would wear, I guess, in the 17, 1800s. Occasionally, people describe a hat man as wearing a cloak, like a Grim Reaper type cloak. And some, if they are described with clothing, there's one in the Limp Mansion, L-E-M-P Mansion in St. Louis, Missouri, which is one of the more haunted places in the country. There's the ghost of one of the, I believe his name is William Limp, who has been seen walking around wearing a top hat and a cloak, but you can't see the detail because he's black, all, you know, really dark. And, that's probably just a ghost. Not the other types of shadow people that I've gone through.
Well, Jason, in your studies and in your research, do you know? You know, this is just my personal question. Do you know the history or the first recorded sighting of a shadow person?
Well, I really can't say the first recorded. The first more modern one of the ones that we, you know, that we know as shadow people, I interviewed a guy who was young in 1949, who saw a blacker than night figure in his room who would loom over his bed, and he was wearing a fedora. And again, this was in 1949. The thing would stare at him and, you know, scare him to pieces, and he'd scream for his dad, and his dad would turn the light on and nothing would be there. But you know, when I interviewed the Catholic exorcist, demons, that's the word he threw out. And the funny thing was, is before I even described the shadow person, all I said was a dark figure. He described it for me, because here's some things, other things about shadow people I haven't gotten into, or one thing is specifically, is they don't exactly mimic human shape. Their arms might be too long, or they might be enormously tall, or their heads might be, you know, shaped the wrong way. And he explained that as, you know, being a demonic entity, that if it's a demonic entity, it's not in the shape of something that God would have created. It's mimicking the creation, so it can't do it 100%. Which I thought was interesting, because that's the description that I get from people, is there's something wrong with them. The ones that I saw as a kid had longer legs than normal, and they walked in a really bad early 70s cartoon type gait. Expert in Islam described them.
Are you
them
saying
and
there's
he said
like
they're
different...
definitely the jinn?
Are you
sorry?
Saying there's different types of, like, good and bad shadow people? Because you're saying, like, you know, there's some that are tall and some that are, you know, kind of normal in appearance. And then you mentioned the kind of demon
only,
with the expert.
Right. There's only been one experience, or one person I interviewed who ever had a good shadow person encounter. The rest of them are all negative.
Okay.
I was just getting at what the people I interviewed had said. The Cherokee shaman that I spoke with said that these people are medicine men, the healers of a tribe that would use their abilities for greed, and that would turn them evil, and they would become something less than human. And you know, during the day, you might see them at Walmart and they look normal, but whenever they feel like it, they could transform into one of these ethereal dark creatures.
Interesting, and it's interesting how you've you've went across the board, like you mentioned, the shamanism and the priests and Catholic, and the average person. You've really done your research, and that's what I loved about the book, both books. Like, you have another, the uh-huh. other book just kind of strictly paranormal, kind of going through all that stuff, ufology, and you were just pointing out how you wanted to show that this happens to everybody, from your front door to, down the street. But my question, I have another question. At what age did you decide to pursue studying shadow people? Like, was there a specific reason or something that's kind of targeted? Because, I know you had the experience. Was that enough to be like, because you were so young, did you start your research then, or did you wait a while? Like, when did you say, okay, this is something I really want to study and find out more about?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I didn't. I was, like I said, 8 or 9 years old. I didn't study anything. I just wanted to collect baseball cards and, watch reruns of Star Trek. I didn't care about anything else. But it's when I grew older, my interest in, when I grew up, there were, I watched In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. There were newspaper reports in our local, Kansas City paper, which is, I grew up near Kansas City, Missouri, and, reports of Momo, the Missouri Monster. And that one summer, that just completely fascinated me. So I've been interested in all sorts of paranormal topics since I was a kid. And when I graduated from college and became a journalist, I was still interested, but you really can't write about those sort of things. It gets kind of frowned upon if you write about those. And then when I stopped, when I changed careers from print journalism to teaching at a university, all of a sudden I had time. Summer vacations are awesome. I had time to start digging into these. So that's what spurred this. I actually had time to do it.
Star, did you have any question? Or because I had another. I could go on for days.
Are you saying that you're long-winded, Lisa?
I can be, absolutely. When I get to talking, you know me. You can't shut me up. Well, I was just curious
Jason,
about,
you're in for it.
Yeah. Well, I was curious about your mentor, like if there was someone you looked up to in the field when it came to either shadow people specifically or just paranormal in general, that kind of covered the whole spectrum. Was there someone that you followed and researched and watched and studied and learned from? Or
no, there really wasn't when I started. Like I said, I'd been interested in these topics, and I mentioned In Search Of. I watched those like crazy, and I watched Unsolved Mysteries and shows like that that I was fascinated in, and it wasn't until I got into doing my own research that I found people like Brad Steiger, who I've interviewed a number of times, great guy, and just the amazing amount of work that he's done is it's just phenomenal. And then I started digging into things and found, discovered John Keel and read his stuff, and I discovered Hans Holzer, the great ghost researcher, and I started reading his stuff and seeing what came before me. And my wife one day brought home a book for me that she found at a garage sale, and it was unidentified flying objects by Major Ruppelt. And I'm like, okay, people have been here before, so I guess I don't have a mentor type that I followed, but I really appreciate all the people who've done this stuff before me.
Star, did we lose you?
Oh. Yeah, hello?
I may have lost Star.
Okay.
Can you hear me? I guess we lost Star. Let me see if she dropped off, that poor thing. She did. Because she was just telling me that she had a question for you. Well, I will go on because I've got a fun part.
Technical difficulties have been a bear.
I know.
Okay.
You must be bringing this on, you and your paranormal associates that are hanging out with you. sometimes it happens, though, you know, when we're doing paranormal shows. It's so funny. But usually it's other shows. It's never like mine. I don't think I've ever had a delayed show. Star, I see you're back on. Did you want to hit did you have a personal story or that you wanted to share or something before I do? I've got four random fun questions for you before we start promotions and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm not sure why I'm having so much trouble out here today, but there's a couple of stories that I have that I believe are shadow people that I have seen personally. One was during an investigation. We were in the basement of the Sheridan American Legion, and we were doing an investigation there, and it was completely dark. There's no windows in this basement. The only light that there was the infrared. And, I mean, you couldn't see anything. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. When we left there, we were going through all of our data that we had collected. And there was a spot where there's just this blue, you know, just a black spot across the camera in the infrared light. So anyway, we had to slow it down a lot. And there were actually two shadows that went one right after the other in front of the camera, crossing from left to right. It was not, you could not see through it. The light did not penetrate it. Nobody was in front of that camera. It was me that was actually holding the camera. And there wasn't anybody else down there. So we did capture something in that respect. And then the other encounter that I had, this was probably about 25 years ago, and I was sleeping, and I was kind of still in that groggy stage. I woke up, and because I just, you know, you feel something in the room with you, like somebody is standing there. You just feel somebody. I woke up, and I looked towards the end of the bed, and there was this black mass standing at the end of my bed, just looking at me and my husband at that time, and just watching us. So as far as shadow people, that's the only ones that I can remember at this point in time, but that was just a couple of things, a couple of encounters that I have had before. One more encounter that I had was with Aaron, Lisa. We were out at a place in Bighorn, Wyoming, and there were several shadow people on this one particular property, and they were pretty menacing. It wasn't you didn't get a feeling of peace at all on this property even before they were seen. It was just a very depressing and oppressive feeling on this particular property. And they had several people that had gone there, had never had a drinking problem, and all of a sudden they just turned to alcohol. They became alcoholics, drug addicts, and it just seemed like that they continually were bombarded with this stuff on this property. And then when they left, those feelings left them. And, I was wondering if there was any correlation maybe between these shadow people and what was going on in these people's lives.
Well, quite possibly. I mean, that's people have often reported shadow people as having a negative not, I can't say a negative feeling, but making them feel, making people feel a certain way. There are lots of people I interviewed for the book who described their shadow people encounters, and these are ones that happen, you know, this happened more than once, that the shadow person created a fear in them. It's not that they were afraid. It felt like the shadow person was generating fear into them and then was mm-hmm. in turn feeding somehow off of the energy that fear created. And I mean, there were many masked in one area, I could see that, I could see whether that might be possible. I've long I'll have to call it a belief because, I don't have concrete evidence on this, but there are certain places in the world that are just wrong, that bad things tend to happen. And, you know, there's evidence for them, you know, lots of places. I mean, and that might be one of them. There might just be something negative there, and you know, whenever people go there, bad things happen to them.
Well, that makes sense because that's kind of what was going on in this particular property.
That would be a good research.
These people, yeah.
That's something to research.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, we are unfortunately wrapping down to the last 11 minutes or so. Hi, I'm so sorry that we lost a good 15 minutes of the first of the show, but we like to keep it light, and I like to do random questions, especially with our fun guests, where it's just to get to know you, something about you personal. And then I also have to announce the best tweet ever that I happened to see from your tweet, and you're going to kill me, but it's awesome. So my four random questions, or actually I guess it'd be three random questions because one's the tweet. Okay, favorite country to travel to and why?
England. I taught a class there a couple of years ago. I was there for an entire month. Lived in London for a month, and I wanted to go there ever since I was a kid because most of my family heritage is British, and I just love that country. Love lots of things about it. I felt at home when I was over there. And they have better beer. No offense to American beer, I love it, but they have better beer there.
Well, that kind of leads into the second question: the worst thing you've ever consumed while traveling or otherwise.
Worst
and I'm
thing,
referring to like
oh,
food, you know.
I'll have to go with a duck sandwich I had at a pub in England.
Ooh.
It was terrible. I discovered I really don't like duck. I'm gonna add one to that. It's the worst and one of the best things I've had. I had poutine in Canada, and which is French fries with cheese curds on top and then smothered in beef gravy. I had to have it because it's a truly Canadian dish, and it was absolutely delicious, but I was sick to my stomach for 2 days.
Oh, I bet, but that sounds so good.
It does. I'm going to have my husband make it now. I'm going to tell you. He's going to have to do some cooking tonight. And then the last random question is your biggest pet peeve.
Oh, biggest pet peeve. I don't know that I have one.
Please don't say being late or technical difficulties.
No. It's, you know, I guess maybe people who don't know how to handle a four-way stop sign.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, those that roll right on through. And then, I've got the tweet for you. Best tweet of the year. We're going to hit you with that. And then I want you to promote, like, your websites and everything, books, and where they can buy those. So, Star, I come across his tweet, and it says, "One of my children apparently wiped a booger on the side of an open Kleenex box, possibly the laziest thing I've ever seen."
Oh my God.
And I just died.
Right.
I have an 18-year-old trying to get pregnant, and I was dying laughing.
if I didn't want people to read it, I wouldn't have posted it on social media. Yeah, that happened. Oh my gosh, seriously?
I looked at that and I'm like, it's like
2.5 inches away from just a tissue. You could have just grabbed the tissue. Lazy.
I know, right? How hard is it to get the tissue?
Yep.
You have to put a little sticky
sign,
something on there, please use tissue or something like that.
Not box.
I'll do that, yeah.
But that was just so hilarious. So you've got, I know, at least two books, because you had one in 2009, Darkness Walks. You had What Lurks Beyond in 2010. You may have had more. Tell us about all your books, where they can find them, along with your websites, where people can contact you.
Okay, which is all of the above on the website. It's www.jasonoffutt.com, and that's JasonOffutt. I've got links to all my books. I've got 11 books out, 4 on the paranormal. Haunted Missouri, Darkness Walks, What Lurks Beyond. I had a lot of fun with that. It's I found all the paranormal things I could I researched all the paranormal things I could find within 100 miles of my house. And I found that interesting because if I could find enough to fill a book within 100 miles of my house, everybody out there can find all that that many paranormal occurrences within 100 miles of their house. I've got a couple of books on humor, a bunch of essays on being a parent, and a travel log. I drove to Canada a few years ago on a beer run, and I stopped at all of the interesting, historical, and just weird places I could find on my trip. I've got
a
novel.
So is that where the beer picture came from? The beer picture on your website, is that from your travel?
No, that was my trip to London. That beer picture, I went to the Angel Inn in Highgate. That's where the back in the mid to late 60s, the Monty Python guys would get together and get drunk and work on skits. So I had to go to that place.
Absolutely.
I've got a novel called called A Funeral Story, which is a humorous romance that involves funerals and Dungeons and Dragons. And my latest book that came out is a book of short stories, short horror stories called Road Closed. And the subtitle is 12 Bloody Stories to Brighten Your Day. And it's just came out a few days ago. You can find it on my website, or all of those you can find on Amazon.
Great. All right. Well, you guys heard it. And then... I appreciate you coming on. It's been awesome having you. Maybe we can get you on when we have more time again, and maybe even talk about some of your other books, because your other books, you've hit on so many other subjects. You just it's just so broad. I didn't realize that you researched so much more than just shadow people until I started reading your other work. But it's been awesome having you. You are.
Hey, it's been nice being on the show. I really appreciate the invitation.
Thank
you. And I'd love to be back on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll do
that.
Thank you.
Yes. We're going to go out with Ghost Town, which is Jordan Lee and the Revelry. Thanks, guys, for listening in. And playback will be available soon.
same street. Picking up and dusting off, but don't let me sleep. You can wait for that sunrise. Everyone knows that there's an end to this night. Open up your bloodshot eyes and get up off the ground and find a one-way street out. 'Cause it's a lonely night here in this ghost. Black and white, and every shade's of gray. And every day in this damn town, it feels the same. It ain't just the falling down, it's the getting back up. It's hard these days. If you can wait for that sunrise, everyone knows. In this ghost town.